Well, good morning again. It's a funny feeling to be here. As a speaker, you wonder sometimes whether almost no one will show up. Now I have that feeling for you. It's really great to be here, and I want to say hello to everyone that's out there, all of our friends, and thank you, Brother Will, for your beautiful song to set the stage. I'm going to ask you to imagine something. I'd like you to imagine that God, by whatever name you're most comfortable using, wants to talk with you. And imagine that you want to talk to God. And so you both decide to have a two-way conversation about anything and everything. And there's nothing that you can't discuss. Imagine being able to express all of your hopes and dreams, all of your concerns and frustrations, and everything in between. And imagine you can talk anytime that you want, and that everyone can do this, and so it becomes normal and natural. And you find that you can talk with others about your conversations, and they understand. And if you want to, you can share what you've said and what you've heard. What you've just imagined is the truth for me. I've been having conversations, dialogues with God for a long time, and I want to share one with you because it may offer you a new perspective or a different way of being able to shift and see things from a new light. This particular conversation occurred May 28th, 2019. I was feeling unsettled about a few things, one of which was that I had lost weight but was having trouble maintaining it. I was tired of having to be so careful with what I ate and all of the restrictions. And I was being very candid with Leah, which is the voice of God that I speak with, and that stands for Love in Action, a spirit sister. And by candid, I mean expressing my frustrations. The response I received from Leah was to engage her in the process and to ask her for help. This approach seemed too simple to me, and I said so. I asked, "Are you expecting me to trust you, that you will answer me?" "Yes, of course," was her response, followed by, "Interesting how difficult it is for you to accept anything simple." I confess that that was true. My life experiences have taught me not to trust simple. In fact, many of my life experiences have taught me not to trust, period. Some of them have taught me that I needed to be self-reliant, and that trusting hasn't always worked out for me, so I was reluctant. Leah offered me this advice: practice asking. Practice and watch for the results. I'm asking you to test me. Observe the results and form a trust in me. I admit that I was skeptical. Maybe you share these feelings. So I asked about my limits. Could I ask for anything that I wanted, or for everything that I wanted? I was assured by Leah the answer was yes. And she reminded me that God wants what I want, or something even better. So to go ahead and track the results, allowing some time for observation, because the something even better sometimes takes time to manifest. I was momentarily reassured by this, but soon wondered, was this too perfect a system? So I either got what I wanted and asked for, or I was going to get something even better at some point in the future. So I asked, could this possibly be true? I'm always encouraged to be honest, and so I expressed my doubts, but in not too kind a tone of voice. Did Leah become angry with me in return? No. She was as loving as always, and she told me that I cannot hurt her feelings, no matter what I say or how I say it, and encouraged me to be true to my feelings and to honor them, because she told me that that was essential in order to have honest communication. I was, and I am, extremely grateful for this. Leah reiterated that I could ask for anything, so I asked her help with my eating plan. And Leah did help me, and that gave me the incentive and the desire to ask for more things. So I started a list, and I asked for both small and large things, easy and difficult things, and began using a small notebook to keep track of the results. Beautiful little notebook my granddaughter made, so it's perfect for me. I admit to wondering whether all of my requests would be answered. And there was some more skepticism in me, but there was also a belief deep inside of me, and I really wanted to see if this would work. One important ask happened early in this process when Maureen and I went on a vacation to San Francisco and Hawaii. I brought along a book written by Michael Hyatt titled Platform. It's about how to get your message out into the world. The word platform simply means your target audience, those who might want to know what you have to say. The book is about 250 pages long and is cram-packed with information and action steps. I spent over 11 hours of flying time digesting the whole book, highlighting all the important parts and taking about 40 pages of notes, most of which was going to serve as my action plan. Well, the plane that we were on from San Francisco to Hawaii was huge. I'll borrow Billy Fusilla's word. It was huge. And instead of the conventional one-seat pocket in front of me, there were two. And you may have guessed it, but I stuck them in the one-seat pocket that I failed to check when we deplaned. They were neatly concealed and hidden. So we got off the airplane and we made it to our hotel, which was about 30 minutes away. When we arrived, I unpacked everything. No book, no notebook. And so I checked again, and nothing. And then it hit me. They were left on the plane, and they'd either been thrown away or flown away. I thought, that's awful, and I was very upset and frustrated, and I actually stamped my foot on the floor like a four-year-old having a temper tantrum. Creates quite a picture, doesn't it? Yeah. Once my tantrum was over, I considered my options, one of which was, I could ask Leah for help in getting them back. And I remembered Leah encouraged me to test her. So I did, and that became item number 5 on my list. But we were going back to the airport in a couple of days because a friend of ours was going to join us for the weekend. So I decided I was going to fully engage in trusting Leah and not rush back to the airport. I would just go to the ticket gate when we got there to pick up my friend. So the day finally came, and so I went to the ticket counter and I spoke with the agent, and she referred me to another one of the agents who came and got me and took me over to the lost and found section. She opened the door and she pointed the way over to a very large container. She said, "Why don't you go take a look? This is heaped with stuff, and right there on the top was my book and my notebook." Huge sigh of relief, and got to check off item number 5. The sign on the container did say lost and found, which seemed to hold at least 2 meanings for me. One is, obviously, that I recovered my items from the plane. But the deeper one applied to me as well, because prior to my relationship with Leah and my conversations, I'd have to say that a large part of me was lost. And a large part of me was now found. Currently, my test contains 106 answered requests, and I keep adding to the list all the time. There's about 7 in the test process right now. My asks span quite a spectrum, and here's a small sampling. Lots of them relate to my physical health issues, and during many of them, I've learned to release resistance, and then discovered that I was often able to breathe my way with and through the pain. And I found that it actually ebbed away and receded. Other requests have raised issues in me so that I could learn from my anger and fear and impatience, finding ways to shift my feelings into compassion, hope, balance, and love. That was my visual time. In case you can't read this on screen, this is my beloved New York Giants hat. I have been a lifelong New York Giants fan. Anybody who is a fan knows who the New York Giants dislike the most out of the whole NFL. If you don't know, it's the Dallas Cowboys. So as a lifelong New York Giants fan, I was shocked to discover that while on this same Hawaii vacation, that Maureen and I both fell in love with family of Dallas Cowboy fans. So if that isn't proof, I don't know what is. I found this to be an extremely rewarding process, and I've discovered many things, 3 of which I'd really like to share with you right now. First, as I mentioned before, it's so helpful for me to remember Leah's statement to me that God wants what I want or something even better. That takes a little explaining. It's often helpful for me to know that I'm not doing any of this by myself, and that it's Leah's fondness, wish, and desire to do everything with me, not for me, but with me, and to know we have a beautiful relationship. We are working together for our greatest good. My takeaway from all of this is that when we at Unity talk about the universe guiding and supporting us in all ways, it's just another way of saying that we are loved, and that we can rely on whatever name we use for God to love us and care for us. I try to keep this in mind, but sometimes concerns do pop up. One concern for me is, what if I ask for something and it doesn't happen? So I asked Leah about this. Her response was that part of me is worried that she, Leah, will fail me and won't deliver on her promise, because we as humans fail each other. so I worry that she'll do the same. I tell her that that part of the statement, or something even better, seems sort of like a disclaimer to me. A way of her always being right, because she can claim that she gave me what I asked for, or that something even better is coming. And sometimes the things I've asked for are the relief of pain, discomfort, and suffering. And of course, I want to feel better immediately. She points out to me that when I have only one acceptable response, that it leaves no room for my greater good. It's impossible for that to arrive, and that part of the process is having faith that she loves me and always wants the best for me. I've come to realize that I have to be open and accepting, and that while I view life from my very limited perspective, Leah sees and knows everything, including what will best serve me. So I try to keep this in mind. Second, I recognize that it is essential for me to live inside the process of conceiving, believing, and taking action, so that when I ask for anything, that I do so with the expectation that I will receive what I've requested. I've asked Leah, that creative force in the universe, to provide me with the object of my request, and she's promised to give it to me, or that which serves me better. I find that my expectation of fulfillment adds belief to my power. Once I asked Leah, would it be helpful for me to visualize the outcome I'm requesting? Leah responded with a very enthusiastic yes. She told me that this is how you live a life of intention. It's how you unleash all your innate creativity and how you breathe life into your dreams, thereby making them real. Leah is alive in the process. She's the energy that sparks everything and the source of the transition from asking to requesting, to receiving, I mean. She works through our passions and desires, helping them to take shape. This process is enhanced each time we live with the expectation that our request will be received, and when we carry the feelings and ideas of them in our hearts. And third, I've discovered that what was a previously missing ingredient in the process for me, and that is to express my gratitude in advance. Now, as soon as I ask for anything, I offer my thanks in advance for the receipt of my request. I'm convinced that this is the key, and that it completes the sacred circle of belief. I believe what is said in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, where the brother Yeshua is speaking to a host of listeners, stating first, I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Knock, and you shall find. Seek, and it shall be given to you. These beautiful, reassuring statements tell us what Yeshua, another part of God, another part of Leah, says is the truth. I've come to realize that every time I accept what the world teaches me, I live in fear and doubt. But when I shift and believe what Leah is telling me, I know that I am loved, and that together we have unlimited power, that we can do everything and anything. With Leah, I have the opportunity to choose my direction and take the path that feels right to me. I can, of course, move forward with the path that my head suggests and continue listening to the world. or I can follow my heart and choose the path of freedom and remember that no matter what I choose, I'm always loved and every door is always open to me. Originally, my message was going to end right here, but given all that is happening in the world right now, I wanted to add one more thing. I wonder if there is anyone who doesn't feel somewhat off balance right now. Is there anyone who is not concerned about their health and the health of their loved ones? It can be extremely challenging to believe that all will be well, especially if you're prone to listening or watching the constant stream of scary news. Perhaps everyone wonders what to do next. I can't answer for anyone but me, but I can share with you what I chose to do, so I asked Leah for guidance and help. And here's what she said to me. Remember, it's important for you to feel all of your feelings. It's okay to scream and cry and be angry and afraid and to express your worries. And once you're done with this, it's okay to let them go and to release all of the energy and the power that they hold. Then come to me and rest and ask for whatever you want or need, knowing it's my fondest desire to live in and through you. So I encourage you to ask for all things with the expectation that you will be answered, and to offer your thanks and gratitude in advance. Remember that at times the answer that serves you best may take a while to appear, but to live in trust knowing that one will always arrive because you are loved. Thank you.